in Luke 17. Let me preface this by first of all saying, I do believe that we are in the last days. I do believe that it will not be long until we get to experience the coming of the Lord to rapture us out of here. I'm hoping that. You say, how soon? I hope very soon. But just because you're in these latter days, and the Bible says that many give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and many shall depart from the faith, you do not have to be one of the many. It's unfortunate that we are in that day and time, but there are many fortunate things that have happened, that God placed us here during this time. But the flip side of that is that the temptation and pressure to get out is greater now, and it will become even greater than it has ever been. In the last days, the devil realizes time is growing very short. I do not believe he knows the day of the returning of the Lord. But I do believe that he can sense strongly when things are about to draw to a close. And as a result, I think he turns up his game, so to speak, and does all that he can to try his best to destroy the church. But he doesn't destroy the church from without. He destroys the church from within. Everywhere else we go to get everything that we need. But when it comes to the church, we expect them to come get us to show us what we need. We need to change our mentality and get our focus back on Jesus Christ, or we too will become like the many that will depart from the faith. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, just to set the precedent for you in the Old Testament, written for our admonition and our learning, the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa. Azariah here is the preacher, and Oded, the son of Oded, and then Asa is the king. And he said unto him, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, conditional, while you be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." Now, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found of them. In those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Father, we come to this portion of Scripture, realize some very great truths for us here during the last days. We see where Israel got off of the beaten path and got off of the old paths, got away from the things that they used to be. I guess they became old and routine and mundane to them. God, we pray now that through the power and inspiration of the Holy Ghost, you might help us to take a personal review of our own private condition, to find out, Lord, where we stand with you, for we realize, Lord, you dealt corporately with Israel differently than you deal with us personally. But God, we realize if they were the apple of your eye and that you had to leave them, you will certainly break fellowship with us should we choose to walk away from thee. I pray, God, that you might breathe upon this message and help us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I really appreciate you being here today. I do not, maybe as often as I should, tell you that I'm glad that you're here. I appreciate in the last days that there are the few faithful, the 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal, that are doing the best that they can, though imperfect as it may be, to put up with the preacher, to put up with the people, and to do our best to put up with ourselves. And to keep trying. If you're looking for perfection, you'll not find it here. You'll find it once we get to heaven. All we are is a bunch of people in bad need of Dr. Jesus this morning. We all have problems and things that are going on in our own personal lives. But ladies and gentlemen, there is a spirit nowadays that seems to have overtaken people in the church, and that spirit seems to be that because Laodicea is upon us, and because the rest of the, quote, Christians seem to be departing, that we have to also go that way as a fulfillment of prophecy. No, there's nothing in the Bible that says that all depart from the faith and that all break fellowship with the Lord. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. You have a choice today. The Bible says that He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. That's true about your salvation. But you have a choice today as to whether or not you want to be in fellowship with Him. Notice I said Him, not them. Because if Him is not first, the them will not be right as it ought to be. I hope that you understand that people go through different things and different troubles and things that sometimes adjust their interaction with you. And I hope you understand that though there are some general truths that need to be taught and reiterated, you can't just act on those things. Those things are born out of pure heart. But ladies and gentlemen, I hate to tell you, sometimes when people are going through trouble, they really don't feel like having fellowship with anybody. They're doing all they can to just try to maintain their fellowship with the Lord. So though I know it is important for us to preach and to teach those things and to get the proper balance, understand you cannot judge a church's character nor a person's character by how friendly they may or may not be to treating you, because then that makes you the center point or the focal point of determining their Christianity. Their Christianity is determined by their relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, first and foremost, if they're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, beyond that, you need not worry. And too often nowadays, we've made it too much about chasing after people instead of chasing after the Lord. Notice, in the Bible says the Lord's with you while you be with Him. If you seek Him, He'll be found of you. I'll leave your finger there and come to Luke chapter number 17. Now, it's important, ladies and gentlemen, that you understand that there is a principle after you're saved. And that principle is that you personally have all of God that you want. After salvation, you have all of God that you want. You have to desire a relationship with Him above and beyond all things and then allow Him to interwork Himself into the all things in your personal life. The Bible says when they got away from the Lord, when they stopped seeking the Lord, there was no peace for anybody that went out or stayed in. They couldn't find peace if they went out of the city. They couldn't find peace when they were in the city. Have you ever been like that in your own situation? You come to church, you don't get peace. You leave out of church, you still don't get any peace. You go home, there's no peace. You go to work, there's no peace. You go to the ball game, there's no peace. You go to do this, there's no peace. There's no peace. You say, why? Because you can't have peace unless you're having a relationship with the Lord. I know that you don't understand that why I keep reiterating this. It's like, preacher, we're not stupid. We get it. But in the last days, the focal point changes to everything and anything except Jesus Christ. And that is dangerous because what it will do is that He'll be found of you if you're seeking Him. Not seeking Him through something else or because of what He's doing for you. Simply looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. In Luke chapter number 17, I know that you know this story very well. It's a great story. The Bible says in verse number 11, it came to pass as He went to Jerusalem and passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They were in a great distance from the city. They were outcasts. Nobody wanted anything to do for them. I want you to notice the same principle here as happened to the nation of Israel. And this is a tight picture of what was going on with Israel. Israel was afar off, but they didn't realize, just like in the days of Asa the king, they had a need of something. Their sickness was directly related to the fact that the Lord had departed from having fellowship with them because of their sin. And as a result, this is what leprosy is. It's a type of sin. It's a type picture of not only the nation of Israel, but Gentiles being consumed with that leprosy. And so notice that they're standing afar off. And the Bible says this in verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I want you to notice, first of all, that predominantly they realized their condition, that they were unable to do anything about their condition. But watch it in the Bible. It said when they realized their condition, they didn't go to somebody else. They realized there was only one that could solve their problem. Now listen to me, there are some people here today that I don't know, and whether or not you're saved, I don't know. So let me just say this to you as I move on. Not that it is unimportant, but it is enough important for me to mention it to you, but we're going to move on beyond this. If you have never realized that the sin in your life is going to not only separate you from people, but separate you from God, and you need to understand that if you don't cry out to Him today, you're going to remain outside the city, you're going to die outside the city, and you're going to go to hell and burn forever. You say, how long is forever? Forever is identified or defined by until God dies. You say, well, I've been to church, I haven't heard anything about hell in a long time, nobody preaches on hell. Don't mean it ain't there. And you know in your heart that when you come to church, you're supposed to hear about heaven and you're supposed to hear about hell. You're supposed to hear about sin and righteousness and judgment. Well, what's the right thing for me to do? If you're lost today, you look to Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die in my sin. I need a Savior to save me. I can't save myself. You say, it can't be that simple. It's so simple, you'll miss it if you're not careful. And what you need to realize is that the first thing you do is call upon the Lord, and then you're saved. After that, we begin to work on the relationship. These gentlemen here are outside the city. They're cast out. They know that they have a problem. Well, what do? They said, hey, Lord, can you help us? You know what the Lord did? The Lord was an independent Baptist, and what He said was, listen, I ain't got time for you today. I'm really busy. I'm going down to Galilee, going to Samaria. I've already got my GPS programmed. I already know where I'm going. There's no detours in it. I mean, if I get off the beaten path, I don't know if I can find my way back. I'm on a time schedule. I'm on a time crunch. I've already got it in my day timer. Listen, I don't have time to be interrupted by such foolishness. You reap what you sow. The reason that you're sick is because you're a sinner. You just have to live with the repercussions of it. That's just how it is. You say, well, preacher, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but that ain't in my Bible. No, it's not in our Bible, but can I say as gently as I know how that that's our attitude toward people today that have leprosy? Our attitude is a whole lot different than the Lord's attitude. Our attitude is not that we could be ever interrupted or bothered or stopped by somebody along the way that says, hey, you know something? I need some help. And if you could help me, I sure would appreciate it. You know what I see the church as? I see the church as a place of triage, a place as a hospital. I see it as a place that when people say, you know something? I need some help, that we pull over and stop whatever it is we're doing, wherever it is we're going, we pull over and stop and say, listen, we got time to help you. But too often we get too busy, too caught up in our agenda and what all we got going on the program, making sure everything's right, so that when somebody says they have a need, it's like, look, we'd really like to, but we are really busy right now. And we can't stop. But they were seeking the Lord. And the Bible says over there in 2 Chronicles 15, if you'll seek the Lord, He'll be found. Unless God's a liar, the Bible says if you're looking for Him, you can find Him. Well, preacher, I hadn't found Him. Are you sure you're looking for Him? So the Bible says that they go over there. You know what the Lord does? He goes over there to the boys and He says, okay, go show yourself to the priest. That's a strange thing. You know what? They all start off going and showing themselves to the priest. And what I'd like to show you is there's a key ingredient to maintaining fellowship with the Lord. Because sometimes the Lord will give you what it is that you need to see how you respond to it. Sometimes God will give you what you need, and then you know we're like, where are you going? I'm going to show myself to the priest. I got to keep the law. You know what I mean? The law says I got to show the priest because as soon as I get him to pronounce me clean, I can get back to my job. I can get back to my family. I can get back to work. Everything's good now. I'm going to, well, what happened to you? Some guy over there told me to go show myself to the priest. I noticed as soon as he said that I got cleansed and everything was good. So I'm just going back to show myself to the priest. Why? Because his priorities are on himself. He can't wait to get back to where he was. He can't wait to get back to where he had some preeminence. He had some prominence. He was somebody. Now he's an outcast in the community. And you know what he wants to do? I want to hurry and get back. For everybody to know I'm all clean now. But notice what happens. There's a Samaritan that's among them. And there's some perspiration that's involved. And there's a detour that's involved. Just like for the nation of Israel, when Asa, if you read that passage, and maybe that'll be your homework for today, you go home and read 2 Chronicles 15. Because Asa said that when he started seeking the Lord, he realized there were some things that were there in the way, keeping him from having the right relationship with the Lord. He found out there were idols present. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, he says, we've heard of you, the ones in Thessalonica, how that you turn from idols, but watch it, to God. Asa went and tore down the idols, but he replaced the idols with an altar. Listen, you can throw out your TV and throw out your rock and roll CDs and you can throw out the wrong clothing and you can throw out all the other stuff that may be worldly and this and that and the other, but if you don't replace those idols with an altar, you're doomed to repeat them and probably worse the next time around than they were the first time around. I mean, you can replace it with your own self-righteousness. That altar has to not only be an altar, a place of sacrifice and a place of thanksgiving, that altar has to be to the right God. Because every God demands a sacrifice. Does it not? Doesn't our own God demand a sacrifice? Whatever we worship demands a sacrifice, doesn't it? Alright, so what Asa does is he realizes, I've got the right thing done. I tore the idols down. Good. Praise the Lord. I tore down all my idols. But the Lord's careful to put in your Bible that He replaced that with an altar. You say, why? Because you're going to make a few trips going back there. Alright, back in Luke chapter number 17, the Bible says this, the Bible says that they all went out there and here's the 10 of them that are going this way and it's in his best interest to just go do what he was told to do, but something in his heart got a hold of him. The Bible says that when he saw that he was cleansed, now why would God put this in the Bible? Because it seems like such a small thing. He says when he saw he was cleansed, he stopped and turned. He had to change his direction. The trio was up here singing this morning about the blind man and he was sitting by the way and the Lord came by and that kind of a thing. And he's talking about blind Bartimaeus there in that passage. And that Bible says that when he cast away his outer garment and came to the Lord said, what would you have me to do for you? And he said, I'm blind, feel my eyes. And he healed his eyes up. And then when he got up there, the Lord said, go your way. And the Bible said he went his way. Do you ever wonder why Bartimaeus went his way? What stirred the heart of Bartimaeus to say, listen, my way led to blindness, your way led to sight. There's something in my heart that says I would rather go your way than to go my way. Amen. Something stirred up inside of him more than physical eyesight. Something stirred in this leprous boy here as a Samaritan in Luke 17. And what he does is he stops. And he turns and he starts to go back to the Lord and notice what happens. He finds himself prostrate at the feet of Jesus. Prostrate, laying there flat out on his face at the feet of Jesus in the position of a servant. Position of a slave, in submission, in subjection. He's laying down here at the stinking feet of Jesus. And if you run that thing through the Bible, you'll find out that that's the position of an individual that takes their place and submits or is willing to submit themselves to the one they're bowing down to. It's the position of worship, not just for Mary, but all through the Bible. Why, even Daniel in Revelation 19, the fellow comes and falls at his feet to worship him. And Daniel says, don't worship me. In Acts, the Bible says they came to worship Peter. And Peter said, no, don't worship me. But you know what? We know we shouldn't worship others, but we're slow to worship the one that healed us of our leprosy. The first thing I'd like for you to see is that the attention goes to the right thing. Jesus, they said, hey, Jesus, help us. And when he helped them, you know what? I think he stood there for a minute because I think he thought, well, I wonder how they'll respond to that. I wonder if they'll show any gratitude or appreciation. I wonder if they'll be thankful. I wonder if anybody will come back or if it'll just be my job. They got what they wanted, but they're not interested in the one that gave them what they wanted. They like the provision of being clean and now they can go back to their life, prosperous as it may be, but they forgot about the one that provided it for them. They sure love the gift, but they don't really care much for the giver of the gift. And sometimes I think the longer that we're saved, ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves in the same position, that position of ingratitude. That thing that is so important to God that He would pin it right after the passage in Luke 17 about forgiveness, right after the passage about the unprofitable servant, and then He immediately steps into this thing called thankfulness or gratitude. Why would the Lord do that? Because there's no better position for us to find ourselves in today. And the problem is that we won't take our position, not just in gratitude, but at the feet of Jesus. Look, if you will, please, with me in the Bible. And the Bible says this in Luke chapter number 17. The Bible says He was at His feet giving Him thanks. And He said, and He was a Samaritan. Do you ever realize that the power or the impact that thing had on other people around Him? But first of all, obviously it was personal. Only one of them came. Do you ever stop to think that everybody doesn't have to be doing what you're doing in order for it to be right to do? Everybody doesn't have to be doing what you're doing in order for it to be right to do. If you wait for a majority vote, you might miss God. I don't know if He had waited, whether or not if He decided, oh, I'll run show myself to the priest, clean, and then run over here to the Lord and go, where'd you go? Now, I appreciate people that, you know, they say, you know, the Lord touched me that morning. I should have gave a testimony. I should have said amen, or I should have gone to the altar. I should have done whatever. And I'm doing it now. And I appreciate the fact that they finally do it. But you know what? I wonder, had he waited and then decided later on to come back and say thank you, if the Lord would have still been there. Sometimes we got to learn that we have to respond to the Lord in spite of the circumstances when He tells us to respond. He is so moved by His gratitude that He doesn't care if everybody else goes. Don't tell me they're not watching Him. He's singled out in the crowd. 9 Jews, 1 Gentile, 1 Samaritan, I mean half-breed that's in there, a Samaritan. They all know who He is. The second He stops to go back, don't tell me they didn't look at Him and go, what are you doing? He said, I'm going back. I'm going back. What do you mean you're going back? We got what we came for. We got what we need. We don't need no more. No, I'm going back. I'm going back to do something, to ask Him to do something for me that He didn't do for y'all. You say, what? To let me have the honor, to let me have the... He didn't come back looking to be made whole. He didn't come back, He said, well, goes back to do what? Simply to let me do something that I didn't get the chance to do. Would you let me thank you for what you did for me? Would you allow me for just a moment to be able to run up, fall down at your feet, and to say to you, Lord, I am grateful for what you did for me. I am thankful for what you did for me. Lord, I cannot thank you enough. My life has been restored. My place has been restored. I'm telling you, I can't thank you enough. If it hadn't been for you, man, the mess I would be in. The other 9 are like, we got what we need. I got my salvation. I'm good. I don't need to keep going back. But one went back. You ever think about it? Not only was it personal, it was public. He did it with a loud voice. He didn't really care what everybody else thought. And then not only that, it was very powerful. Now, I don't know about this, but sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, some of us are more grateful for things in the world than we are for the things of God. You know what amazed me about this guy? I got to looking at it, and I was looking for where the card was sent to him to ask him to come back. I was looking where the visitation program went and came to his house and begged him to come back. I was looking, I know, you're getting real tense on me now. I was looking where the phone call saying you were missed brought him back. You know, it was a strange thing to me, ladies and gentlemen, and I know this flies in the face of common, we've always done it this way thing, but I'm telling you, if an individual will find themselves rooted and grounded in Jesus, you ain't got to push them, you ain't got to pull them, you ain't got to beg them, you ain't got to drag them, you don't have to please them, you don't have to plead with them. If they get hooked up to Jesus Christ, they consider it an honor to come back and say, Lord, I just came back to say thank you. Did you want me to? No, I just want the privilege of saying thank you. Well, I mean, we got a program. I don't care about the program. I came to say thank you. Well, we're going to be singing a special. I don't care about the special. I came to say thank you to you. And if we could get back to biblical Christianity that puts Jesus first ahead of all others. And everything. You would never have to be worried about trying to poke and prod and plead with people to get them here. The strange thing is that we fail to recognize our own disease. And see, these boys have the sin or have the filth of leprosy on them. It cuts them off from the physical. But we had the stench of sin upon us. And as a result of that, we were a stench in the nostrils of a holy God. We were outside the city of heaven. We were not allowed entrance.
Amen.
And one day Jesus Christ came down. He planted a cross in the earth that He created out of timbers that He made. Indwelling a fleshly body that He chose to indwell in, the God of the universe. And God Himself hung Himself on the cross and purchased us to give us a highway through the blood of Jesus Christ up there into glory. We were leprous with a whole lot more than something physical. We were leprous with sin and an outcast. But how many of us today say, I got what I wanted? What do you mean you got what you wanted? I'm saved. Okay. The last time you went back and told Him, thank you. Sometimes the reason that we're mentally disabled and mentally we got worry and concern, mentally we're messed up. It's the same way that He says over in 2 Chronicles 15, no peace inside or outside. It's because we haven't paused to go back to Calvary to say, Lord, I just want to fall at Your feet where the blood flowed down and to say to You, thank You, Lord. Oh, preacher, that's so juvenile. I know this. I know a lot of times when Brother Larry's up here giving out gummy bears, some of you parents come up, and that's fine. That's a good thing to make sure he doesn't give them too much sugar so they drive you crazy all afternoon. And I hear them as the kids, they got what they want, and they start to walk off, and some of you parents will go, hey, what do you say? And they look at you and they go, thank you. Don't tell me. I didn't give it to you. Go tell him. And you see him like, ah, don't you put that in your mouth. Go tell him thank you. Thank you. So we get a message on gratitude. You know what usually happens? Thank you. But we don't go all the way back. We tear down the idol, but we don't get close enough to build an altar. We don't get up there at the feet and subject ourselves and say, God, if it wasn't for You being merciful to me, a sinner, if it wasn't for You and the blood, I would not even be able to even be down here right now. Lord, if it wasn't for You, well, what about all of the other nine? You know what this guy said? Look in the passage and find for me where he responded. Are you still looking? The Lord says, were there not 10 cleansed? Where were the 9? He couldn't have been an independent Baptist. He couldn't have been a typical Christian. Because this guy, he don't even answer for the 9. Well, Lord, dang, spiritual as I am, you know. I mean, I know where my bread's buttered. I know who to come give thanks to, Lord. I'm giving You glory. I don't know why they don't give You glory. Because my glory is magnified in the fact that they ain't giving You no glory. He don't say nothing. He's down there hugging the feet of Jesus. I don't even hear what you're asking me about the 9. He's saying that for the benefit of the crowd. That fellow down there going, I don't know. I just know I'm glad for what You did for me. You see, it's a personal thing. It's a public thing. And what you must understand is it is something that only You can do. And whether everybody else does it or not, it don't matter. Notice the position. The infinite happened. He didn't wait. He didn't hesitate. He didn't think it was spontaneous. It caused a change in His direction. A postponement of what He wanted to do. Woo! Can you imagine? God interrupting your plans. Yeah, preacher, you know, I'm just going this way. You know, Paul said that. His name was Saul. Saul of Tarsus. Last name Tarsus, as y'all have instructed me. He's on the road to Damascus, think he's doing God a favor. I'm in the perfect will of God. You read it, Philippians 3. He's doing everything that he believes is right for him to do. All of a sudden, realizing God speaks to him, and some said it thunder, knocks him off his horse, and all of a sudden he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He recognized somebody else was in charge of his life, not him. Paul changed direction. Peter changed direction. Hey, you a fisherman? Yeah, come follow me. Make a fish. Lord, I got nets out. I got boats. I got a business. I mean, I got fish in the boat. If I don't get them fish to take to the market, they're going to stink. I mean, Lord, I got nets to mend. I mean, we got to go out tomorrow. I got these people that are depending on me. And what's this country and nation going to do? What's this city going to do? This town going to do without my fish to feed them and all that? Hey, Matthew, you collecting taxes? Yeah, making a pretty good living. Yeah, come on, follow me. But Lord, you don't understand. You see, I'm working for the government, and I got a good government job, and I got a good pension, and everything's locked down, and I'm here. And the Lord says, hey, let's go. Change direction. I mean, like that. I mean, intervene like that. You know what happens, these other nine? They already saying, you know what? I ain't postponing. This is the day I've been dreaming of. I've got my second chance. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to go do now back to what I wanted to do. You know what we get to do? We jump in and get saved. Watch the application. And then we go right back to how we were living before we got saved. I didn't say how you were living is an evidence of your salvation. I don't believe that. But I do believe, ladies and gentlemen, that there's sort of this attitude that, well, now that I'm saved, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, and whoo, thank God I'm not going to hell. Now I can turn the grace of God in lasciviousness and trample underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. Now I can enjoy it and not have to worry about going to hell for it. We don't care that it breaks our fellowship. We don't care that we can't find the Lord because we're not seeking the Lord. We don't care that He's far from us because He's waiting from where we left Him. That doesn't matter to us. We got what we wanted. Salvation. And now I'm going back to the way I want it to be. You realize it doesn't always have to be going back to sin. Sometimes it can just be going back to separation. In the name of God, you wind up going over there and saying, hey, thank God I'm saved. Now I can go over here and I don't have to do bad things, but I got work to do. Sunday's become a day of work just like any other day. I got television to watch and ball games to play, and I got t-ball and I got soccer and I got balance beam and jumping, and I got basketball and I got all that other stuff. Preacher, what do you? Listen, that's your business. I'm not trying to tell you how to raise your kids. I'm simply saying you appreciated Him for saving you, but Lord, I'm really busy. Get up there to heaven, Lord, sitting on His throne, you know, like this. He's going, woo, hallelujah, judgment seat of Christ. Okay, everybody quiet. Let's see what you got. Oh, by the way, who won the game? I was in a pool up here, you know, me and the angels, and we were kind of, you know, who got the March Madness? You know, your president seemed to be real interested in that. Got what we wanted, didn't we? Saved by the blood. Woo! Lord says, He didn't even ask you to come back. He didn't even demand that you come back. He knows you're going to come back one day at the rapture or death. He knows you got a home and pigeon in you, and that bird's going to fly to the house one day when you, after you're dead or the rapture takes place. So He knows you're coming back one way or the other. What He's looking for is, do you want to come back? When? Now. Well, now, wait, preacher. You don't understand. I've already made plans. I've already got this going. I've already got this going. And God's going, I'm sorry. I'm just here. I'm not here to mess up your plans. I'm just here to see where your priorities are. You see, God's not here to just ruin your day. I'm kind of wore out with, like, why'd God do that? You mean to you? I can't answer that. I don't think He did it to you. What I think the question that begs answer is that why did you do that? God saved you at the cost of Himself and His precious blood. Are you serious? Why did He do what? What did He do that He hadn't paid for? That's like, I'm in charge of my life. Who is He to interrupt me? He didn't come to bash your day. He came to see where your priorities are. Amen. Well, where are your priorities this morning? You say it can't be in something so simple. Oh yeah, this is the springboard, because without the gratitude, there ain't no building. It's the very foundation that you can build upon. And without that right there, nothing else exists. It's been a while, preacher, since I had to go up there and thank the Lord. I just want to thank God for my salvation. Well, that guy didn't say, thank God I've been healed from leprosy. Sure is a blessing. I'm cleansed now. Got to go show my thank God. Thank God. You know what the Bible said? He went back and thanked the one that did it. He stopped where he was going and what he wanted to do and what would be to his benefit to stop for just a second and say, wait, hold on just a second here. How about us? The Bible says we're to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Is there any wonder that we don't get in His gates very often? Notice what happened. The Bible says one of them, when he saw verse 15, he was healed. He turned back and with a loud voice. He got down in the right position. He got down there, prostrate at His feet. Now, I hate to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, because the Lord does something here that's kind of strange. He asks him a question. Where are the nine? Verse number 17. And in verse number 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God. Save somebody who wasn't raised under the law, who doesn't know anything about me, who doesn't have a religious form or knows what worship is or anything else. And he's given me more glory in his ignorance than nine others that should know better. Nine others that know the Bible. Nine others that know the law. Nine others that were raised on the apple of God's eye. Nine others that were set apart from the beginning. Nine others that should know what to do in order to please God. Here's this guy who has none of that knowledge. And in his ignorance, the Bible says he's given more glory to God than the nine that should know how to do it. Say what? Can we learn a lesson from it for just a second? You ever stop to think that when you thank God that you're giving Him glory? Why do you think in the Bible that He says that we're to give thanks in all things? Because it glorifies the Savior. He says that you're to be thankful in all things. He said, why? It glorifies the Savior. He says, with all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Why? It glorifies the Savior. A lack of thanksgiving glorifies the person. It says, I'm where I am because of who I am. The other nine said, well, sure, He came down and touched me and cleansed me. Are you kidding? We were just waiting for Him to catch up with us. I mean, we knew we were going to have this disease. We knew He was going to come by and cleanse us. And now I am sort of a celebrity because I had it and now I don't. So now I'm somebody. But that Samaritan stops and he goes, well, hold on a second. Just hold on 1 minute here. I'm going back to make sure nobody gives me any credit for what just happened. I'm coming back to glorify Him, to point others to Him, to make sure that when I go back, somebody doesn't think, as the Jewish nation would think, oh, it's because they're righteous. Surely you see the type. How many of us, when we came to Jesus, we came as a leper. Nasty, stinking, filthy, clothed in the rags of our own self-righteousness, and we stunk the high heaven. And then how many of us, after we've come to the blood of Jesus Christ, are like, well, yeah, see, I was kind of righteous and I was kind of clean and I was kind of perfect and of course He saved me. I mean, I'm not as bad as them. You ever wonder why God mixes and mingles in this crowd some of the people He does? He's trying to say, hey, what do you think you were when I came and got you? Who do you think you were when I came to get you? You uppity, snooty, nose in the air, arrogant, shoulders back, chest out, Pharisee, you. Hey, you think that you did me a favor letting me save you, letting me heal you of leprosy. But this boy right here, oh man, this guy right here, he's an idiot, but he gets it. To blazes with your intellect.
Yeah.
to blazes with all of your knowledge, to blazes with all of it, if it causes you to think of yourself more highly than you are, that you will not find yourself at the feet of Jesus saying, Lord, thank you for being merciful to me, a sinner.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lord, did you ever think to come back? Are you kidding? I got to go out there and get them, Lord. Oh, Lord, I got to... No. You need to come back and get hooked up. You see, us going without Jesus is like a vacuum cleaner without the plug in the wall. Us going without Jesus is like a grape trying to grow on a vine that ain't got no root down in the ground. And yet too often, we miss one of the most simplistic things in the Bible, but it has so much heavy truth in it. This guy's perception changed. His perspective in life changed. He realized that what his life was before is entirely different now. You say, why? Because Jesus intervened. Now understand this, they're cast out and the Lord comes walking by. You know what I think this Samaritan says? Man, what if he hadn't come by? What if he hadn't stopped off in my direction? What if he hadn't walked by my way? You know something? I just realized that if he hadn't come by, I would have died of leprosy. Can I help you to see the picture? Jesus came down on a cross, hung there, beaten, bruised, and battered, bloody, beard plucked out. And he came down, and you know what he said? I'm going to come by your way. I'm going to come by your way. Does anybody need me? Whosoever will, let him come. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow. Cast your care upon me. I care for you. Listen, I'm whosoever will, let him come. He came by your way. You know what we do? We come by, we look at the cross and go, okay. We don't even say thank you. It's like, well, that's his job. He's God. He's supposed to die for me. And we walk off. We might even walk off saved. Might under our breath say, oh, well, thank God. Praise the Lord. Thank God. But we're still going our way. Boy, God sure is good, but we're still going our way. Boy, isn't God a blessing, but we're still going our way. Can I ask you today, if they were to follow you for long, would they find themselves back to where you were born again? Will they find themselves back to where the new birth took place in the birthing room of God? Would they find themselves back down there at the feet of Jesus saying, man, what's that guy doing? I don't know. Just keep hearing him say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I think the Lord looks at our crowd today. You know what He says? There's a departing from the faith. Saved individuals. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Lovers of them own selves. Boasters, heady, high-minded. Traitors, implacable. Say, oh, come on, preacher, that's not... No, that's people that are saved that said, hey, man, I got stuff to do, places to go, and people to see. The root or the core of our problem as a church is there is a lack of gratitude on our part toward Him. And it's shown in our appreciation or our treatment of them. Amen. The Samaritan said, you know what? The direction I'm going don't matter. She's fine. The direction I'm moving, it don't make no difference. The way I'm headed, the stuff I got planned for my life, nothing is more important than me getting back to what gave me a new start, a new chance, a new change. Nothing matters more than getting back and falling at His feet and worshiping Him. Boys, I'm going back. I'll guarantee you this, if it's true, the Bible says in the last days there are scoffers. I'll guarantee you this, I'll guarantee the other nine are like, we're doing what He said to do. We got Scripture for it. He told me to go show myself to the priest. That's the law. You know what the Samaritan says? The law? What's the law? I don't know the law. I wasn't raised in a Jewish home. I didn't have philanthropies tattooed on me. I never read all that stuff. I wasn't raised in Hebrew school. What do you mean the law? What's the law? The law said, show yourself to the priest, so you got to come with us. He said, well, the lawman said that, but if it hadn't been for the grace he showed me, I wouldn't have the gratitude going on inside me right now. So the blazes with the law when grace takes over. Say, now, whoa, wait, hold on just a second. No. He nailed the handwriting ordinances of the wall, Galatians 3:13, to the tree. He did away with the law. You say, why? To set you free to turn around to Him today and say to Him, thank you. You know what's going to get real to you? You say, when tribulation and trials come, when somebody drops a nuke, when radioactivity comes across, when a tsunami strikes, nope, none of that stuff will matter. Giant earthquake's going to come. We're going to have bad storms. They're going to bomb us with some kind of new strange technology or... So you're looking for physical relief. You're looking for physical relief from the pressure and the problems and all that. You're thinking that if I can just get over this hump and just get past this problem, if I can just have this physically, if I can just get that, I'll be okay. No, that's the nine. The real peace comes when you go back to the King of Peace and say, you know what? I got the main thing right. Here's where it'll matter. Let's say you kick the bucket. Drop dead, blow a gasket, whatever I usually use there. And you're laying in a box. I'm going to say nice things about you if you let me do your funeral. Some of you might write in the will, anybody but him. We would like to use the building, but anyway. All of a sudden you'll be absent from the body.
Amen.
And you'll be present with the Lord. It'll be special to you then. But you know what'll be real special? When you're standing on that side of the river. And one day, all of a sudden, somebody who saw you go back to the feet of Jesus and followed you there and said, hey, what are you doing? I was just thanking the Lord that eternity's set. It's fixed. It's done. Would you like to meet Him? Yeah, you can't. What do you mean I can't? Well, see, you're dead in trespasses and sin. Now He'll save you if you know you're a sinner. Oh, I'm a sinner. If you're ungodly. I'm ungodly. Well, He can help you. So let me introduce you to Him. His name's Jesus. Died for your sins according to Scripture. Buried, raised again the third day according to Scripture. You believe that? Yeah, I believe that. Day comes, you're standing there on the gate. Other side of the river. Looking out there. And there's this horde of people. I mean, what are you doing? I was just looking to see who made it. I was just looking to see who's coming. I was just looking to, about that time, that individual that you love and that you care about, and you saw them trust the Lord as their Savior. They come running across that threshold and dive across that river, and they say, I made it. I'm here. Thank you for telling me about Him. I sure appreciate you telling me about Him. I, for so long, made it about them, the other nine. Where they were going. What they were doing. Headed to the wrong church, going to the wrong priest. Thank you for pointing me in the right direction. And you know what you'll say? Ain't he good? You say, well, could I meet? Oh, man, he's available anytime. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You want to see him? About that time, Jesus standing right there. Hey, how you doing? You say, where will you be? At His feet. Say, what do you be saying? Thank you, Lord. Say, well, preacher, I don't understand the significance. Well, okay, watch. In the passage, there's a difference in being cleansed, a difference in being healed. Because the Bible says that boy was made whole. That didn't really have a lot of significance until I started getting older. He got physically made whole. He got his fingers back, his nose back, his ears back, whatever it made. That's why he put whole in there. That's why it's an entirely different word. But see, here's the thing. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ right now, guess what? You're cleansed. And you've been healed. But you ain't whole yet. You cross the threshold up there and you're going to realize everything sin's taken from you, everything sin has caused you to lose, everything that sin has done to you, you're going to get all of that and then some back. All the wholeness will come back. You'll be in your right mind, clothed like that boy over there, seated at the feet of Jesus. You'll be sitting there cold and people will walk by and say, man, look at him. He's got his mind back. If you were blinded, you'll have your eyes back like Jesus had. If you have deaf, you couldn't hear, you'll be able to hear. If you couldn't speak, you'll be able to talk again. Hey, everything sin's taken from you, God will restore wholly to you. That perfect little quiet heart. You get up there, man, and all of a sudden that heart that races at the first sign of trouble. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. And you get up there and it's like, we're going to the Battle of Armageddon. Oh, we're going to go down there and fight. Men, aren't you nervous? Yeah, I'm all worked up, man. Flipping me out. Yeah, man. You say, what is that? That's the mind of Christ. Hey, listen, man. As long as He's with us, we're good. As long as He's with us, listen. That Bible says, one of the apostles, I like Peter. I know everybody makes fun of him, mocks him and stuff, but he says what I think. He said, Lord, which one of us have given up houses and lands and this and that and the other? Excuse me. Which have given us? What are we going to get for all that? The Lord said, oh, I'll pay you back more than a hundredfold, boy. You get up there to heaven and the Lord say, let's tally up. And you won't just get back what you put in. He'll give you that and then some. You say, why? Because He loves you. Everything you lost here, you'll regain up there. You say, what's the secret to it, preacher? Well, you'd think it was rather simple. But it's so simple that it becomes difficult. And the focus becomes about everything else. Because when I come back in thankfulness, I'm almost done. Just bear with me for just a second and I'll be through. Listen to me now. When I come back in thankfulness, it immediately transports me back to I have to be willing to admit somebody did something for me I could not do for myself. Right. Otherwise, you're just kind of placating them a little bit. You're just kind of like, you know, oh, well, thank you. You know, like it's like a Southern courtesy thing, you know. Thanks a lot. But true thankfulness is saying you did something for me I couldn't do for myself. You know what happens when you come to an altar and you say to them, thank you, Lord, you're going all the way back to Calvary. You're watching that blood flowing from that pierced brow down that face, from those whip marks across his back and from those nail-pierced hands and the blood in his feet. And you know what you begin to see? Right underneath those nail-pierced feet right there, you know what you'll see if you look closely? You see your sins that are right there. And you realize those are the things that put him there. You'll see on those nail prints your sins. You'll see on his feet your sins. And you're thinking, man, what's going to happen? And about that time, a flood of blood will come washing down and those things will disappear right before your very eyes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You know what you'll say? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It'll take you right back to where you first got in. You know what it'll do? It'll get your eyes off of the other nine. It'll change your bitterness toward the other nine that ain't doing what you're doing. It'll take your bitterness off the Marys, Martha. You know what it'll do? Make you realize, whew, I just better get my eyes back on Him because He did something for me I can't do for myself. You say, how often? Oh, I think at least a couple times a day you ought to think about it. Well, thank God for the blood. Yeah, but here's the difference. Let's say he's sitting right over here. Thank God for the blood. Sure appreciate the blood. Boy, the blood sure is good. And here's what you got to understand. Paul says, I press toward the mark. Who's the mark? Jesus Christ and the high calling of God. Paul says to set your affections on things above. So if that's the case, when I'm saying thank God, every time I thank God, I should be drawing closer to Him. And closer to Him, because I ought to be moving toward Him, not toward my own desires, not toward my own priests, not toward my own freedom, not toward my own ideas of what I want as a career. I'm just moving closer to Jesus because He's the reason that I'm here, and all I want to do is get back to where He saved me. Man, the simplicity of salvation. But boy, don't we get it and move on so fast. When's the last time this Pat's going to come play? Many folks have already come. But I would like to give you an opportunity. If you're lost today, you can trust Jesus Christ. When these people come to the altar so that you understand, and I know you're afraid of it, didn't grab a hold of nobody and ask them to speak in tongues or throw a sheet over them, let them flop around on the floor, none of that. This altar is up here for you to come and kneel before it and either say, Lord, I want to ask you if you would please now to save my soul. I know I'm a sinner. It's a place where you come to meet God. It's a place where you come to offer your sacrifice of thanksgiving. You need to understand clearly that it's not a show or a put on. Sure, we'll be glad to pray with you, but this is a place where you come to offer what you have to offer to the Lord. We'll help you. But it's a personal place where you come to the feet of Jesus. Notice in the passage in Luke 17, I don't have time to go back to Asa, but notice in the passage when that altar is built, and here in Luke 17, there's nobody there with him but him. You say, why? Because salvation's a personal thing. You have to ask him to save you. I can't save you. The church can't save you. Baptism can't save you. But Jesus Christ can. As Miss Pat plays, let me ask you this, Christian. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You know what the altar's for. The Lord spoke to you this morning and maybe you've just kind of started going your own way and going hurriedly to doing what you want to do and getting back to where you were planning on going right after you got saved. Maybe you should just pull over this morning and stop and go, wait a minute. I need to get back in line and get my priorities straightened up. Kids, listen to me nowadays. You're running hard, you're running hard and hard and wild. Say, well, I got plenty of time. You don't have as much time as some of us old people. Maybe God spoke to you today. Don't sit there with the other nine. Be the one that has the courage to step out today and say, Lord, I'm coming home. Be like that prodigal in Luke chapter 15 that says, I'm going to my father's house. I've had enough out here. I'm tired. I'm wore out. I'm sick to death of it. I'm not doing it no more. God spoke to you, you come. As she plays. Lord, I ask that you would forgive me for just making that a matter of speech and not a matter of the heart. Lord, truly, sincerely, you have touched my heart and helped me today through the Scripture, through early this morning and yesterday. Lord, just helping me to realize the importance of the simple things. To realize how many things have filled my heart and my mind because of a lack of gratitude on my part. How many things, Lord, have been in my own direction when I got my eyes on the priest of my own life as opposed to getting back to the King of all priests. God, I pray that you might help us to take this message and, Lord, that you might do with it something that only you can do through the power of the Holy Ghost. Make us grateful people. I know you won't force us. But Lord, when you see that willingness in our hearts, I pray, God, that you'll help us to be what we ought to be. Bless these folks for coming today, Lord, and I pray, God, that you'll watch over them. Many of them are suffering, going through difficulties and problems. Lord, give them wisdom and insight. Show them how you would have them to go and what you would have them to do. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.